The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
On X at Rich Zeoli. So I just did Jimmy Fallon's radio show, and it was a last minute thing. I'm not going to be on camera today because I haven't even showered or shaved or anything today. It was so last minute. Tomorrow, however, I'll be going up to New York, and if I have to do the show again tomorrow, then I will be on camera because I'll obviously have to shave and take a shower for TV and all that stuff. But today's going to be a traditional radio show. If you are streaming on YouTube, though, we will play lots of clips for you, so we'll still make it worth your while. And you can comment along in our online YouTube community. But for the most part, today is going to be like a radio show where you're going to be listening, and I will do theater of the mind to describe to you all the things that I am thinking and feeling. And I'm thinking and feeling a lot of things today. Jack Ciarelli's now in the lead for governor. He's got a one-point lead, according to a new poll that came out yesterday. That's huge. That's big. On the 10th of October, we have that rally coming up, and we're going to do this big rally in North Wildwood. I'll be doing my show live from there that day, and it's going to be a great day. 4 to 7 p.m. is the event. Lots of great speakers who are going to be coming out and speaking, and we'll be doing a candlelit vigil to honor Charlie Kirk with our cell phones. If you watch the memorial service for Charlie Kirk, I'm sure you were as blown away as I was. If you watched the Eagles game yesterday, I'm sure you were as blown away as I was. I think everybody was, especially considering the Jets did the exact same thing after. It's pretty amazing. But there is there's a lot about this reaction by the Democrat candidate for governor of New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill, and how pathetic her reaction was to Charlie Kirk and hateful, and how she hates everybody who supports him. And it's the where the left is right now. They're in this place where they can't just shut up about a guy. Like Fetterman tweeted out over the weekend, you know, people are going to grieve tomorrow. You let them grieve, give them their space. But most of the Democrats can't shut up. They don't know how to just zip it. So instead, they have to put themselves front and center of the story. And in order to get the crazies to come out and vote for them, because that's ultimately what this is all about. Mikey Sherrill's in a very close race for governor. Jack Ciarelli is up by a point. Republicans are fired up, especially after Charlie Kirk's death, his assassination. They're fired up. They want to come out and vote. And I think it's going to translate into victory in November. I really believe that. Democrats, though, they have no direction. They have no leadership, and they have no money. So what Mikey Sherrill is worried about is making sure that she gets every Democrat out to vote. And in order to do that, she is culling the lowest of the low. And she's catering to these bottom feeders. Remember how I said last week, I said the Democrats need to have a policy that says hate has no home here for their own supporters and their own people. Hate has no home here. So you're not welcome in this party if you believe all these hateful things. Go start your own third party kookery. They won't do that. And she needs those votes, which is why last week she came out and said horrific things about Charlie Kirk and his legacy and what he stood for and just completely lied about it. And those sparks flew last night in the New Jersey governor's race in the first debate. But it occurred to me as I'm watching this, I mean, she could have just said nothing. She could have just not tweeted anything out. But they had that vote, and she voted no against honoring Charlie Kirk because she knows that the base would be very upset and very angry. And this election's so close that she needs every single Democrat to come out and support her, including the crazies. That's where the Democrat Party is right now as we kick off this show. And that is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, Venaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is the man. He is the man. And I'd love for you to go see him today. And the other point, too, is that as you watch this rally and you think about Charlie Kirk's widow saying, I forgive his killer. I forgive him because it is what Christ did and what Charlie would do. And the president was joking, well, you can not hate these people, but I hate these people. And she's a remarkable woman, and we have a lot of audio clips from her speech yesterday at the rally for her husband, the memorial service for her husband. She is an incredibly remarkable person. She really is. And I'm happy that she's going to be in charge of Turning Point USA. And obviously, if the things that they were saying about Charlie Kirk were true, she would not be in charge of Turning Point USA. Like, they're saying these terrible things about Charlie Kirk, that he didn't believe in women's rights and he didn't believe that women should be working. And I mean, Erica is now in charge of this massive organization that Charlie started. So think about that. It shows the lies of the left around Charlie Kirk. But his legacy is massive. And I mean, it's only gotten bigger because of what happened, and it's only going to continue to get bigger. So Democrats have to figure out what they're going to do about this. Are they going to be on the side of Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and AOC and all these whack jobs? Or are they going to turn around and they're going to recognize that the majority, the overwhelming vast majority of Americans are tired of that hateful speech? They really are. They're tired of that hateful rhetoric. I don't mean hate speech. I mean the hateful speech that the left uses when they throw towards people like Charlie and his widow and all of his supporters. And it matters. It really does. And that's why Republicans now are leading. And this is cut number 12 here. We're going to start with this. Harry Enten from CNN. Republicans are leading with independent voters in the three major categories. And I think another problem as the Democrats continue to go to the bottom of their base, the bottom feeders of their base, is that they're also embracing a lot of the same policies that the far left base wants. Socialism and shutting down energy, natural gas and oil and all the other things. And they want things to socialize housing and affordable, quote unquote, affordable housing, high density housing. All of the things that the left has preached about for years, the Democrat Party's embracing. As they do that, they're going to find that they're losing more support across the board with independent voters. As they spew the hatred, they're going to find they're losing support with independent voters. And as they turn around and act like, I mean, they're so incredibly tone deaf on the crime issue, you know, acting as if the criminals are the victims here, and that by deporting criminals that we're somehow now going down the road of Nazi Germany and all the other terrible, wacky, nutty things that they say. It's no surprise that these results tell us that independents are now going with Republicans in all three major categories. This is cut number 12.
What's the reason that you are finding so far that's driving this?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's all about the center of the electorate, right? You win with independents, you win overall. And what do we see right here among independents? Republicans still have a point lead on the economy. They got a 10-point lead on immigration. They got a 21-point lead on crime. The bottom line is, when you look at these numbers, Democrats should call their offices, because at this particular point, even if Republicans, or even if the public doesn't like what Donald Trump is doing, they ain't necessarily liking what Democrats are doing. And it ain't just a referendum on one party. You actually have to go out and beat that party at this particular point. Democrats are not able to beat Republicans. They still
and again, this.
Yeah. And so even if you don't like Donald Trump, it comes down to a binary choice. And that's why the Democrats keep trying to make this election about Donald Trump. It's what Mikey Sherrill's doing in New Jersey, trying to make this election about Trump, trying to make it about him. But it's not enough, though, because voters are smart enough to turn around and say, all right, well, even if I don't like the guy, I still don't like what you're offering. I still don't like what you're selling. I mean, maybe I'll just stay home, but I'm not going to come out and vote for you. I'm not going to take your side on things. You're wrong on all the issues that actually matter. See, at the end of the day, as the saying goes, what's driving people are the issues that still matter to them. That's what moves the needle. It still moves the needle. And where are Democrats on these issues? Well, they're opposing Trump on everything. Gavin Newsom has now come out and said ICE agents can't wear masks. First of all, he has no right to tell federal agents what they can or can't wear. A state governor does not have the right to do that. It'd be like saying your uniforms have to be pink, which I could absolutely see Gavin Newsom doing, being that, you know, it's California and Barbie and everything like that. You can pass a law that says federal agents all have to dress in pink and their cars have to be pink Barbie Jeeps, but you don't have any jurisdiction over federal agents, because you're the state. California can't ban masks, can't ban ICE agents from wearing them. They're federal agents. Besides, Gavin Newsom loves masks. He mandated them for years, and many people in California still wear them. So, of course, all the ICE agents could do is just turn around and say they have COVID or they're worried about catching COVID, in which case then they'll all turn around and go, hey, all right, free masks for everybody. But no, I'm telling you, this is the point about Democrats right now. They're still wrong on all these issues. All these issues. They're not offering the American people something that they want to buy. Zora Mamdani's socialism might play in New York City. It's not going to play outside of that area. It's not going to play in the mainstream of America. And as the party continues to cater to the worst parts of the elements of their party, the worst parts of their base, their polling is going to slip even further. It really is. And then you combine that with the hateful voices that you hear on the left about Charlie Kirk as they scream about Kirk and they try to distort his legacy. And you marry those two and it's a recipe for disaster for them. And then you got Kamala Harris coming out with her new book. Every chapter pairs with a different bottle of wine that she was drinking while writing it. So the first chapter is Cabernet. The second is a Pinot Noir. I believe by the time you get to the 16th chapter, you're definitely on pills. But in her book now, she's trashing everybody. And Democrats are like, oh, my God, what is she going to say next? Trashing everybody. The Democrat Party itself is angry. So if you have the base voters who aren't turning out in an election, you really do have problems. So they just keep continuing to cater to the extremes of their party. I mean, it's not helping them. Here's Harry Enten again talking about the advantages the Republicans have in midterms. This is cut number 11 from CNN.
What do you think?
Yeah, what are we seeing? You know, Donald Trump being underwater, Democrats saying, oh, this guarantees us we're going to fly high in the midterms. Let me tell you, this guarantees you nothing, nothing, because at this particular point, the Democrats are the New Orleans Saints of political parties. What are we talking about? Trust the Dems or GOP more on the economy? Who leads on the economy? Republicans by 7. Immigration, Republicans by 13. How about crime, a big issue for Donald Trump and the Republicans? Look at that, lead by 22 points. So the bottom line is this. At this particular point, the ball may be on the ground, but the Democrats have not picked up the ball and running with it. If anything, at this particular point, it's the Republicans who are running with the ball on the top issues, the economy, immigration, and crime.
Give some context on this. Compare this when Republicans last took the House.
Yeah, let's compare it back to 2022. I think this kind of gives away the game right here, okay? The GOP is more trusted than the Dems on the economy. It was 12 points in 2022. Slight decline in that lead, but still 7 points. How about immigration? It was Republicans by 3 back in 2022. Look at this. The Republican lead's actually gone up by 10 points. What are you doing, Democrats? My goodness gracious. And on crime, the Republicans were up by 13, and now they're up by 22. The lead, again, expanding by nearly double digits. So whatever Democrats are doing, it ain't working, Kate. It ain't working. Republicans have the lead on all three issues.
It ain't working, Kate. It ain't working. It ain't working. He's very excited. He's very, very, very fired up and very excited. It ain't working. Now, you combine that, like I said, with the hate. So here's Ilhan Omar. And I mean, this is as gutter as you get. She makes a Frankenstein monster reference about Charlie Kirk and the monster being shot and then refuses to apologize for it. So, and then you watch the Charlie Kirk Memorial, and what do you see? You see light. You see positivity. You see unity. You see people trying to bring people together. You see a grieving widow saying she forgives the man who killed her husband. And then you turn on CNN or wherever else, and you hear Ilhan Omar, and you hear her talking like this about Charlie Kirk. This is Cut 26 with Caitlin Collins on CNN. Take a listen.
I just think it was the video where it called him Dr. Frankenstein and said his monster shot him through the neck. I mean, obviously, this is a person. And looking at this, this is someone who was a husband and a father. And in the days after his shocking death that happened as a result of his views or happened as a result as he was sharing his views publicly with people, that people found it jarring to hear such criticism of that in the immediate aftermath.
What I find jarring is that there are so many people willing to excuse the most reprehensible things that he said, that they agree with that, that they're willing to have monuments for him, that they want to create a day to honor him, and that they want to produce resolutions in the House of Congress honoring his life and legacy. It is one thing to care about his life, because obviously so many people loved him, including his children and wife. But I am not going to sit here and be judged for not wanting to honor any legacy this man has left behind. That should be in the dustbin of history, and we should hopefully move on and forget the hate that he spewed every single day.
Now, granted, she does sound like she's from Transylvania, but making that Frankenstein reference was absolutely awful. Charlie Kirk is Dr. Frankenstein, and his monster shot him through the neck. That's what she put. I mean, it's so sick. It's so sick. So I think the American people see all that, and they also think of a Democrat Party that just simply does not have any of the issues that they care about, any of the issues that they stand for. You know what I mean? And it shows. And then you come back to the race that we've got here in New Jersey for governor. And then this issue played out, and Jack, to his credit, is right to say positive things about Charlie Kirk because he deserves the positive things. But Jack is also politically smart enough to know that he's going to benefit from the Republican enthusiasm and anger in the wake of all this happening. I mean, people are fired up in a way that they have not been in a very, very long time. Mikey Sherrill thinks that she can counter that by making sure that she gets every Democrat voter out to vote, because if they can't get every Democrat out, Jack wins. But then in order to do that, you're going to sound like an absolute extremist. You're going to sound like you're the party of the crazies, and that's what you're going to sound like. That's why last week when she tweeted out what she tweeted out about Charlie Kirk, and it went massively viral, and there were articles written about it, because people said, how can you say this about the guy? How can you as a member of Congress and as the Democrat candidate for governor of New Jersey say these things about Charlie and his supporters? And why would you? Who's giving you that advice and saying that this is a good idea? And she lied. He wants to roll back the rights of women and black people, is what Mikey Sherrill said. His wife, Erica, is literally running the organization now. She's now in charge of the organization. So did she have to come out and say, I take my oath to the Constitution seriously. I believe in free speech in the First Amendment. Wouldn't it be necessary if it were only meant to cover language we agreed with? It is meant to protect people like Charlie Kirk who present vile dissenting views. But it is also meant to protect teachers, doctors, and TV comedians who may express views the president doesn't like. Charlie Kirk was advocating for a Christian nationalist government. No, he wasn't. He wanted to keep the government out of religion, just make sure everybody could exercise their rights and live their life according to their religion, and to roll back the rights of women and black people. Roll back the rights of women and black people. That's what Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat candidate for governor of New Jersey, said about Charlie Kirk. And I'm telling you why she said it. She said it because she cannot risk having any Democrats, including the crazies, stay home. Because when you invite crazy into your house, then you got to feed it. You got to give it a pillow. And in this case, now you got to get it to show up to vote. And that's why she's going down this terrible, terrible road. And it's going to hurt her. It's going to cost her dearly. And that's why Jack's already taken the lead. So when we get back, I'll play you some from that debate. As we watch, the president is going to speak from the Oval Office, along with Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I believe, as they talk about what they found in their assessment of what is causing the autism problem in America. It is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. As we get ready for another week, don't forget Politics and Pints. Jack Carr, the man himself, October 13th. It's going to be an amazing night. Zlock Performing Arts Center, Newtown, PA. We're going to sit down for an incredible conversation about Jack's latest book, Cry Havoc, the newest installment in the James Reese series. Tickets are selling very fast, so get yours now by going to 1210WPHT.com. 1210WPHT.com. You don't want to miss this. Jack and I are going to talk about a lot of things that night. We'll talk about the state of politics. We'll talk about the Constitution, and you'll get to ask questions. He loves taking questions from the audience. He loves doing that at these events. 1210WPHT.com. Get your tickets today.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So, As we discuss all these things that we are talking about today, I want to welcome you back to the show. 855-839-1210 is the number on X at Rich Zeoli. So let's talk about the debate for governor of New Jersey last night and what took place between Jack Cittarelli and Mikey Sherrill. And this got very heated over Charlie Kirk's assassination. And it's amazing that we're in this place in a race for governor of the Garden State, but these issues matter. And I think that Jack is benefiting from the fact that you've got Republicans who I would say Republican leaning voters, because I think a lot of Trump voters are not necessarily Republican voters, but they weren't going to be motivated necessarily to come out. And that's a problem because they tend to vote for Trump and nobody else. And we saw that with that special election in Lancaster not too long ago. But in this case now, they are fired up. And look, we're thinking this rally we're doing on October 10th, which I want to see you there, it's going to be a pretty epic day. It is going to be history in the making in terms of a non-presidential rally. That's how big we're going to make this thing. With your help, of course. But here's Mikey Sherrill talking about this, and this went back and forth with Mikey and Jack at Rider University in Lawrence. This is cut number 7. Take a watch and a listen.
My opponent on Friday went down to Washington, voted yes on a resolution to celebrate Charlie Kirk's life, but then within minutes sent out a statement that basically condemned him. I think that was wrong.
You can have 30 seconds to respond.
That's a neat trick to say you don't want to divide people, and then in your answer, bring up something that's very divisive. Here's the thing. I care deeply about this country. I stand against political violence. The videos that came out about after Charlie Kirk's shooting were horrific. And I feel horrible because my kids have seen them, and so I can't even imagine how the Kirk family feels. And that should never happen to anyone because they speak out. And I also have stood up my entire life, and I've taken numerous oaths, up to and including offering to die for this country for free speech.
Fine.
And so I think it's fair to have free speech, but I think it should go to everyone, to Jimmy Kimmel and to myself as well.
Final word, Jack Cittarelli, 15 seconds. Ask the audience to please remain quiet. 15 seconds for you.
She still hasn't answered your question, and we see this time and time in the campaign, generalities, platitudes, ducking the direct question by not giving a direct answer.
That's just not true. My direct answer is, I voted to protect free speech. I voted to end political violence. I also think it's fair, Jack, to speak up when you disagree with something. And so if you want to stand up that Martin Luther King was a bad guy or that women should submit to their husbands, you, Jack, are welcome to do that. And I have the right to say that I disagree with it.
Okay. We're gonna move on now.
There is no upside to anything she just said unless you're catering to crazy Democrat voters. That's it. Because the average person out there who is just living their life with their kids thinks what happened to Charlie Kirk was horrific and horrible, and we're not ready at a place yet to reflect upon the downsides of things that he may have said or who he was, etc. And not that what she said was factually correct, but I'm saying most people driving around right now, They just feel sad about what happened. They think what happened is horrific. And I always say, Twitter isn't real life or X isn't real life. The things that are said in the halls of Congress between whack job members of Congress and their Looney Tune fringe supporters is not reflective of real life either. Most people living their life may have had a son or daughter who were fond of Charlie Kirk, heard about Charlie Kirk, but all they think about is, man, I just it's just an awful thing for our country. It's terrible. They're not going to do a deep dive on all the things that are. So who are you scoring points with by making those comments about Charlie? Which are wrong to begin with, but who are you scoring points with? You're scoring points with the very small minority of people that want to hear you say that stuff. It's the issue of I'll get a single tweet from somebody with, you know, 50 followers. So I'm going to change the whole trajectory of my show and what I stand for? Of course not. But they do. And why? Because they're so worried about those people staying home. I mean, it's bad. All she had to do was just say, what happened was terrible. We just got to find ways to heal our country and lower property taxes and move on. But she can't. Because then she would anger the people in her lunatic fringe who were like, you need to get up there and trash the guy. We can't allow the right to have a hero and he can't be a martyr. But to the average American person who is just struggling with getting there, I mean, in our life, my wife is not a political person. She doesn't have time for it. And she's going to be taking today the kids. It's CCD and it's play practice and it's lacrosse. And I'm on the air till 7, although tonight I'm only on the air till 6. Tom Aislebee is going to do the last hour because I did Jimmy Fallon's show. And just give a little break. But, to a person like that, running around with kids and you got all the different things you got to do, and do you honestly think that you're going to sit there and go, wow, look at Mikey Sherrill. I mean, I'm definitely voting for her because she just went after Charlie Kirk. Like, how are you going to win over somebody that is not super duper politically engaged on that issue? The answer is you're not. So what she is doing is she's angering voters who may have stayed home but are now definitely voting for Jack Cittarelli, whether they like Jack Cittarelli or not. And I happen to be incredibly fond of the guy, but now they're definitely going to show up. And you're making sure that your lunatic fringe base shows up. But beyond that, there's no downside, and I think you stand to hurt even more by having the people come out for Jack to just say F you to Mikey Sherrill for all the things she said about Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's bad, bad, bad political strategy, among other things. And then you contrast that, and you contrast all the negativity with what Erica Kirk was saying last night. And the positivity and the light that this incredible woman is, she's grieving her husband, the light that this incredible woman was shining in. And this is what she said last night at the memorial. I'm sure you've heard this by now, but it's worth playing it again and again and again. And it's really remarkable, actually. This is cut number 20 from the memorial service for Charlie Kirk. Take a listen.
Most of all, God's mercy and God's love have been revealed to me these past 10 days. After Charlie's assassination, we didn't see violence. We didn't see rioting. We didn't see revolution. Instead, we saw what my husband always prayed he would see in this country. We saw revival.
We saw revival. We saw revival. And we didn't. And then she went on to forgive the guy who killed her husband, murdered her husband in cold blood. Think about that. Forgives the accused killer's husband. Cut 21.
That young man. On the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. Forgive him.
I mean, I don't even know how you can how you cannot get chills hearing that. The incredible, incredible passion and just genuine honesty. And she's a much better person than me because I barely forgive people who cut me off and wave on the road. Like, I barely forgive those people. I still butter under my breath. Like, all right, you waved, so. But I don't deep down inside know if I forgive them. You know what I mean? She's a better person than me, but that's the whole point. And then to listen to the Democrat vitriol and the anger and everything else and just, I mean, just, ugh, you know? And then meanwhile, you've got the president now who is talking about bringing his legacy forward so that the movement that he started inspires people all around. And you contrast that with what you hear from the Democrats and people like Mikey Sherrill, you understand why this awful assassination has now awoken a sleeping giant that may have gone to sleep after the 2024 election. Really, I think that sleeping giant may have gone to sleep after the 2024 election, gone dormant, probably would have sat out midterms, and then maybe would have come out in 2028 to vote for J.D. Vance or another MAGA candidate who would have been able to motivate the movement like that. But that sleeping giant is now wide awake and ready, absolutely ready to go out and vote. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, as we continue here right now on the show, it's great to have you with us. I want to thank my great friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding for taking such great care of my home. Two different homes in the course of 12 years. How does 10% off sound for you? Sounds pretty good, right? 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. Now, you will have American-made roofing products using the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. And Emmons is platinum certified. So that means that roof you have is going to have a lifetime warranty. That's right, lifetime warranty. In addition to that, they have a kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. Now, Matt was here last week with his design team, or the week before, looking at the kids' bathroom to do a renovation. And why am I going to go with Emmons? Because I used them to renovate the bathroom in our old home. They did such a phenomenal job. Between that and the kitchen, we were able to sell the home for top dollar. And the roof warranty is transferable, which is also a beautiful thing. So please reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. When it comes to your home, it's about trust. Isn't that everything? You don't want some contractor in there starting the job and then all of a sudden now the price is going out of control and they're late, or they just leave you in the ditch because they got a better offer. That's happened. I know people that's happened to. They put down a deposit. They never heard from the people again. The people started the project and then just left. With Emmons, you don't have to worry about any of that. The project will be done on time. It'll be done on budget and you'll be happy. And they clean up when they're done. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, and 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. Trust the team at Emmons, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All righty. So we are waiting the president to have a big announcement on autism, and we will certainly bring that to you. It's an important topic, I know, to many, many people who listen to the show. In the meantime, it's great to be with you. Appreciate you being here. 855-839-1210. You should definitely, definitely get your tickets for Politics and Pints because they are selling fast. And I posted a video today on my Instagram and Facebook pages, as well as on X. So now they're going to sell even faster. That's right. Even faster. Caroline Leavitt, today at the White House press briefing, which wrapped up a short time ago, was talking about Charlie Kirk. And the exchange that they had together before he died. Now, I will say Caroline has, she's, you know, I don't doubt this in the least. She's an incredibly authentic person, and she, yeah, no, I mean, this is, it's a cool story. Cut number one.
Charlie was a great guy, and he was, of course, a very influential person in the conservative movement, in the MAGA movement. He was so helpful to the president during the campaign and to all of us who worked on that campaign, that historic campaign. I myself had many great memories going on Charlie's amazing podcast and his show. He was always willing to text people with words of encouragement. In fact, my last text exchange with him was the day before he died, and he was asking for my husband and I's address to send a children's book to our son. And I think that just speaks to the type of person that he was. And I know so many of us here at the White House are going to miss him very much.
There you go. No doubt about that. She also talked about Antifa, the whack jobs in Antifa, and all that they do, and all the craziness that they do. And what does it mean to be designated a domestic terror organization? What does that mean exactly? Now, I don't know how you're going to particularly go after this, but I'm really interested to figure out how the money gets to Antifa. Even more so than the membership, it's the money. How does the money get there? And is there a little RICO going on here, too? You know what I mean? Because all these people that are out there all day and causing chaos, and they never seem to have a job, and that is their job, I just don't think they're a bunch of disgruntled, laid-off baristas. You know what I mean? So who's paying for all this? Can we get to the bottom of that? That's how you bring down any organization, whether it's the mafia. That doesn't exist, obviously. I mean, obviously. or it is a cartel or anything else. You go after the money. You go after the money, and that's what you figure out. That's what I think this is really all about here. This is cut number two.
Antifa is going to be designated a domestic terrorist organization. The president intends to sign that executive order very soon, as soon as it's drafted, as soon as today, later this afternoon. And this is something the president campaigned on because we have seen a rise in violence perpetuated by Antifa radical people across this country who subscribe to this group. And unfortunately, it's gone widely uncovered by many in the legacy media. It also went completely ignored by the previous administration. Not anymore. Not only, as you mentioned, were the bullet casings subscribed with Antifa mottos, if you will, in the heinous assassination of Charlie, but there have also been more examples than I could read off for you here in this briefing room today of violence from Antifa. I will just read a few. In July 2025, several members of an Antifa cell ambushed and opened fire on officers at an ICE facility in Alvarado, Texas, shooting one officer in the neck. Also in July 2025, three Antifa members were charged with assaulting a police officer during a violent riot outside an ICE facility in Portland, which for weeks prior had been under siege from the local Antifa terror cell. In February 2024, a transgender Antifa terrorist detonated an explosive device outside of the office of the Republican Attorney General of Alabama. In July 2023, Antifa members linked to abortionist group Jane's Revenge firebombed pro-life facilities and vandalized churches. In January 2022, a suspected Antifa member was arrested for bringing a pipe bomb to a pro-Trump event. In January 2021, an Antifa supporter threatened to shoot police officers and Trump supporters outside of the Florida State Capitol building. Again, I could continue to list many more examples for those in the room who don't believe this is a serious threat to American safety and our national security, but this administration knows that it is. That's why the president will be signing this order. And we will also be most importantly looking at who is funding Antifa and who is funding these other violent left-wing groups that we've seen perpetuate so much crime and mayhem across our country.
Exactly. Who's funding this? Who's the money? Huh? Where's the money? Who's behind the money? That's what I want to know. Who's behind the cashish? You figure that out, and you will solve a lot of this. Because all those things she described, that stuff's not free. I mean, even Molotov cocktails cost something. Now, I've never made one, but you know, they seem like a poor man's dynamite. But, I mean, it's still got a cost to it. So we know that there's money behind all this. And if people are committing violence, well, then track that down. And if it's organized, and remember, a conspiracy only needs more than one person, And particularly this group, they've gone after federal property, courthouses, and bombing all these other things. If you can do that, you will have achieved something right there. You will have achieved something. And it might be something significant, too. It might be something that puts a real dent in the constant dividing of America, because I think people turn on the TV and they see the chaos and the flames that Antifa unleashes, and they think, oh my God, America has just said this. It's a civil war out there. And that's part of the goal of any terrorist group, is to spread chaos and to make people believe that there's disruption happening everywhere. And Antifa does that because the media is going to flock to it, obviously. If you light a federal courthouse on fire, if you throw a Molotov cocktail at a police car, you're doing these things, it's obviously going to it's a newsworthy event. And most Americans turn on the TV and go, my God, is this what's happening in America? And that's what they want. They want to achieve that. They want people to believe that and go, yeah, this is America. This is Trump's America. So follow the money. That's how you do it. You follow the money. Some breaking news. Apparently Disney, ABC Disney China, will bring back Jimmy Kimmel to its schedule starting Tuesday night. They said, quote, last Wednesday, we made the decision to suspend production on the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment for our country. It is a decision we made because we felt some of the comments were ill-timed and thus insensitive. We have spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, and after those conversations, we reached the decision to return the show on Tuesday. Now, the question is, will he apologize Tuesday night in his opening monologue? Will the local affiliates carry him? So remember, the show like that, it's all about the affiliates. It's all about the affiliates who back you and whether or not those affiliates are going to carry you. See, we don't have any affiliates for this show. And Adam Carolla, who has an incredibly popular podcast, who weighed in on Jimmy Kimmel, because Jimmy Kimmel is obviously, and I said Kimmel, right? I did say Kimmel. I mean, I filled in for Jimmy Fallon today, so my mind is a lot of Jimmys, but I have two very different people, obviously. But Adam Carolla has an incredibly popular podcast, who weighed in on all this and actually defended Jimmy Kimmel after everything had happened. He doesn't have to worry about affiliates either, because his podcast, like all podcasts, that podcast is subject to whoever wants to watch it, listen to it, view it. And same thing for me one day, if I ever get the axe. You just search it, it pops right up. But if you're a nationally syndicated radio show or a nationally syndicated TV show, then you rely on your affiliates. Now, there are some podcasts out there, obviously, that they have affiliates for them. I don't really quite get that whole model yet. I'm not really sure, but nevertheless, it's a thing. But like, for example, Adam Carolla is his own entity. Joe Rogan, his own entity. So I don't know if Sinclair Broadcasting and Nexstar are going to carry Jimmy Kimmel's show, and I don't know if they care. ABC Disney China might be reacting to woke Howard Stern, who today said he was defiantly canceling his Disney Plus subscription in the wake of all this. I wonder if you would consider woke Howard Stern going to Sirius Satellite Radio to have been giving up the fight against the FCC. Now, in hindsight, everybody applauded it as this brilliant, brave move. But looking back all these years later, 25 years later, whatever it is, was it a surrender? He left the confines of terrestrial radio, of which the FCC has jurisdiction. Again, remember, if it's up to me, I'm shutting the FCC down. I don't believe we need an FCC in the year 2025. But he left where the FCC can't reach and went to satellite radio. And he did so because he was tired of fighting with them. So do you consider that to be a surrender or a victory? At the time, I thought, this is victory. He's found a way to get around the FCC. He's found a way to beat the government speech police. He's found a way. But now looking back, I think maybe he got out of the fight. You know what I mean? All right, we'll talk about all that straight ahead as we continue. It is a busy Monday. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.